because we have a very short time on Earth. We don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes we have to do things when we're scared, right? Doing things afraid, making that first move, being a trailblazer, like starting my podcast. I had no clue what I was going to do. I just knew I wanted a platform to put something out there to help women with building self-confidence and at the same time creating better representation, especially coming from a culture where we're always seen as quiet, submissive, and obedient. I really wanted to dismantle that.
Hello, and welcome back to Shift Happens. My name is Claudia Mahler, and I'm your host. Today, I'm excited to be in conversation with Sheena Yap Chan. Sheena is an Asian-Canadian Wall Street Journal best-selling author, keynote speaker, and strategist. Her space of expertise is in elevating women in leadership and self-confidence through media. I'm fascinated how a seemingly simple question, "What do you really want?" propelled Sheena onto a journey of self-discovery and to shifting her life mission to encourage and support especially Asian women into embracing their authenticity and reclaiming their power. Sheena learned firsthand how confidence is a skill and not a trait. Enjoy this crisp episode and keep in mind, what do you really want? Sheena, thank you so much for joining me here on Shift Happens. You're an author, a speaker, a strategist. You really focus on self-confidence. And I'm so excited to talk to you about the moment that actually was a shift for you within your own confidence and then also brought you into working with so many other women and people on this important and often misjudged topic, I think. Confidence and self-confidence, right?
Yeah.
But before we dive in, I would like to know from you, what is your current state of mind?
Like if it's good or bad or like...
Yeah, just how you feel.
I'm okay right now. I'm good.
Good. How would you describe perfect happiness? What does that mean for you?
I think for me, it's just being able to live life on your terms. Not everyone gets to do that. So especially coming from a culture where I've always been told to live a certain way. I think that's what happiness is, like being able to live life on your terms.
Which living person do you most admire?
Well, probably my grandma.
Is she also in Canada like you?
She's in the Philippines, so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, The Tao of Self-Confidence, that is your book. And you described to me beforehand this moment that was a major shift for you. A friend asking you a question, what do you really want? And I love that because the question, you know, in a way, it's so simple and it's almost like an uneventful question. What do you really want? Well, what do I really want? You know, I mean, and that shook you. I thought was really, really made me curious, you know, where were you in which point in your life did this struck you? And then it opened your way to your own confidence and to be able to write about it and to express yourself and to empower other women. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, when someone asked me that question, it was really hard to answer, right? Because I mean, we always think we want something that's very surface level, you know, fancy cars, big house, lots of money. But really, when you kind of dig deep and realize, you know, you just want to be able to live a life that's yours. And at the same time, live life with no regrets, really. Mm. A lot of people just kind of like go with the flow, kind of, you know, do the Monday to Friday. Nothing wrong with that, like having a 9-to-5 job if you love it. But there's a lot of people out there who think that's the way to success, when there's really so many different ways to do that. So I think for me, it was learning to live life with no regrets. I can look back and say I've done everything I've ever wanted and more. And even if I'm not on this earth tomorrow, like I don't have any regrets, literally. So it's good and bad.
So you said that you were really realizing how much you lived according to societal and cultural norms. And for you, what were real big changes that then happened in the way you approached your life, in the way you made a decision to write a book, in the way to make a decision to start a podcast and talk to women about confidence and how to find it, and where did we lose it?
Yeah, I think the biggest change was really when my aunt passed away from a horrific accident. It was really unfortunate that that happened. I mean, till this day, we're still very shocked about it because it's just something that you never thought could ever happen. And then that made me realize how short life is and made me realize I wanted to do everything as much as I can while I'm still here. Because we have a very short time on Earth. We don't know what's going to happen. And, sometimes you have to do things when we're scared, right? Doing things afraid, making that first move, being a trailblazer, like starting my podcast. I had no clue what I was going to do. I just knew I wanted a platform to put something out there to help women with building self-confidence and at the same time creating better representation, especially coming from a culture where we're always seen as quiet, submissive, and obedient. I really wanted to dismantle that. And I was fortunate to create this podcast and then wanting to have more visibility in other media platforms. As much as I love podcasting, it's still a very small platform compared to other media platforms. I mean, you have a podcast, you know what it's like. It's a labor of love.
It is. It really is.
And it got me to writing books, and I had no clue what I was doing. I've never written a full-fledged book. So when the publisher, Wiley, approached me asking if I want to write a book, especially on the topic of leadership, I almost didn't take it because I didn't think I was the right person, dealing with imposter syndrome, feeling I'm not good enough. I was like, I don't even know what leadership looks like, right? I don't even know what that definition is. I don't even know if I would consider myself a leader. And I was just grateful I have a great support system who encouraged me to write it and told me, no, you need to write it. I was like, okay, I will figure this out. I will write the book and figure this out as I go. I mean, the first book, I had less than 3 months to write it because I had a very tight deadline with a publisher. And so I'm glad I was able to make it happen and have the book out on time. I made it to the Wall Street Journal bestselling list. So that was really awesome.
Congratulations. I mean, amazing.
Thank you. And then now I have my upcoming book, Bridging the Confidence Gap, which is coming out later this year. So I'm really excited about that as well. Just because as women, we still face a lot of gaps. And, we as women, we're so amazing. We're so capable. And we can do it if we have the confidence in ourselves to see our potential and just make things happen. And it doesn't have to be perfect, right? Because there's no such thing. But the more action we take, just imagine what we can achieve. And there's been reports when they said when there's more women in leadership roles in corporate, government, and entrepreneurship, the whole world benefits. We have higher GDPs in countries. We have, more money to, make our countries better, building better roads, better structures, having safer places. And that's all we want, right? We all want to live in peace and harmony. And it's unfortunate as we still go through a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of women who don't even have basic human rights, unfortunately, and it's 2025. So I just hope this book helps women see their potential. They said that gender parity was going to take at least the earliest 2154 to be achieved. And now it's actually delayed a little bit now. Now they're saying the earliest would be 2158. And at the rate we're going, it seems like it's going to keep delaying. So this is why it's so important to show up, to have confidence, to go out there and make the changes that are necessary. It's not going to be easy, for sure. We're gonna have to work 100 times harder, but it's definitely worth it. I know this is not gonna happen overnight, but if we do our part, we can make things happen.
So you've spoken to so many women about this topic and how they found their way and grew into their self-confidence. Are there a few factors that you would say are almost universal, or is it all very individual? And first this, and then my other question then is also, how can I check in which state my self-confidence is?
So after interviewing a lot of, you know, women, I've interviewed over 800 women on the topic of confidence. I think the most common things I've seen is that as women, we hit a certain boiling point, right? We can only handle so much. Realizing like, okay, this is it. Like I've hit the highest and I need to make a change. Like something's got to change, or else we're in the same cycle over and over again. And no one wants to be in that same cycle. So yeah, so that's the common things I've seen in women, you know, or something life-changing has happened. You know, they've hit like an aha moment that made them realize, oh, you know, they can do something different. They can make a change. And then they go out there and make it happen. So that's what I've seen in women. And as to like a state of confidence, one of the things I've done is I have a free quiz that gives you the type of personality, self-confidence mm-hmm. personality. So it helps you realize the type of person you are and how you can utilize that in your own journey. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are self-driven or purpose-driven, or some of them are both. So it's just a very quick quiz that anyone can take. They can check it out on my website. So that really just helps them to see the type of personality they are and the state that they're in.
Well, that sounds very practical and straightforward almost.
Yeah.
Wow. So you said, and you wrote in your guest intake form, that the things you learned through the process of realizing how you were function on other people's expectations and norms, that what you learned important is the power of self-reflection and how one's voice is the power, and particularly voice. Like, what do you mean? Like, to have an opinion and be out there, and also like practice your actual voice?
Yeah.
Does that also play a role?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think also coming from a culture that I'm from, you know, especially the women, we've always been told to stay in the background, never make any noise, just do as you're told. So being able to speak up for yourself is a big thing, right? Or being able to share your opinions, being able to voice out your truth. You know, we've always been told to not make any noise, don't tarnish a family name, just stay in the background. So we were almost invisible, right? So to show up, to be able to speak our truth, to be able to share our opinions, like it's a big deal, especially like in Asian culture. Back in the day, you know, the women weren't allowed to be in businesses and in places of power. You know, we've just been seen as like the housewife doing chores, making babies. And, you know, of course we progress, right? We have women in CEO positions. We have women who are breaking barriers, opening doors for other women, making history. So it's a big change from back then. You know, even like being able to have a seat at the table. I mean, it's great. We're slowly getting there. Yes, there's a little bit of pushback as always, because, you know, when there's change, you take one step forward, five steps back. But the more we keep going out there and making these amazing changes, it just helps women and everybody else in the world.
In your experience, how do women help each other in gaining confidence and maintaining confidence, establishing it?
Yeah, I think having communities and support systems is really important. As women, I think it's very important to work together. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes as women, we tend to bring each other down, especially when it's like positions of power or leadership positions, because sometimes we still fear that there's only one spot at the top. And so if another woman gets it, like, there goes my chance, but not realizing there's so much opportunity to bring each other up at the top, because men collaborate with each other all the time. That's why they're able to advance a lot faster, because they're not doing it on their own. They're working together. They're finding the right people to work with. And if women did that, like, just imagine what we can achieve. So I think it's very important as women, we need to learn to work together, to collaborate, to create these collaborations, to see what we can do together. Because I can't do everything myself. You know, it's impossible. And we've also been taught for so long that as women, we have to do everything ourselves, right? Like we're the superwoman and everything. And it's so exhausting, right? Like you
Very.
don't tell men that they need to be the superman of everything. Like as women, we're not just running businesses or working jobs. We're also taking care of family members, taking care of children. You know, we do everything, right? It's good and it's bad because, you know, sometimes that's all we're seen as, and then we don't get to advance in leadership roles. There's been reports that men advance faster than women in corporate roles because women are actually doing a lot of the extra stuff in the companies, right? Like, you know, if there's an event, a woman's planning that, or like just all these little things that we would have to do that men don't do. So it is important to focus on what we can do to help each other out, or have circles or organizations where women can come together and have these types of discussion.
So, bridging the confidence gap, do you think it also works cross-cultural? I mean, your expertise is also in the culture that you are from, as similar cultures, Asian women. Is there such a big difference in the end? I mean, certain aspects, of course, yeah. But I mean, in Europe, like my generation was still also raised pretty, I would say, traditional. And it's still taking, you know, a lot of time. Like I remember that I've done in Europe many years ago, like 10 years ago, I had a series of events with women. It was actually meant for international women, but many local women then joined this series. And I had young women sitting there, 24, 23, in tears because, you know, they had just, I don't know, they had just done their law degree or were a doctor. But they were already stressed about the fact that they were expected to have a family, that they were expected to stay at home, that they will be considered a bad mother if they go. I mean, that was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So things have changed. But there's still almost, again, I find universal pressure, yeah, to behave in a certain way. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
just tough, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And yes, I mean, even though as women from different cultures, we have certain things that are different, a lot of things are similar. The expectations, the negative stereotypes we go through. And as women, that's something we can definitely relate from, right? Whether you're in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in North America, there's so many taboos that women have to go through, right? Like, let's talk about periods, right? That's like a taboo in like almost every country. It's like that's part of a woman. It shouldn't be a taboo, you know, like it happens to us once a month, right? And yet it's seen as dirty in most cultures. There's a lot like in parts of Asia, it's like when you have it, like you have to live separately because it's seen as dirty. But it's not dirty. It's part of our anatomy, right? And also like mental health, right? Mental health is also seen as a taboo in many countries. If you say you're going through something, you know, you're deemed as crazy when you're not. Like everyone goes through stuff, right? And I'm glad it's being normalized more, just being able to talk about this, being okay with vulnerability. So yeah, like the book Bridging the Confidence Gap, this is for anybody, men, women, because it takes men and women to work together as well to bridge this confidence gap. So it's not just us learning to work together to make things better. So I'm really excited to share this book with everyone because I think it's really important to talk about the things we've gone through, talk about how we can have more confidence, you know, talk about the reasons why we as women, we feel the way we feel. You know, I think imposter syndrome is a big thing. You know, there's been reports that said like 74% of women executives feel imposter syndrome. And that's big, right? That's huge.
It's huge.
I've dealt with it. I'm sure many women have dealt with it. So yeah, it's definitely cross-cultural. You know, it's definitely something that we all can relate to because you know, like I mentioned, even if you do come from different cultures, we still go through similar situations.
And also, I think it has to do with setting up clear boundaries, right? And to, first of all, to become aware of the fact that maybe one does not have such clear boundaries.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
then grow into setting them.
yeah, setting boundaries is really important. Like being able to say no to something you don't want to do is like such a great feeling, right? But yet we're so afraid to say that because we don't want to offend anybody. But yet, you know, we constantly just take things and take it and not realize how that affects us negatively. So it is important to practice setting boundaries, even if the other person not be happy about it, because, you know, as women, we tend to want to please everybody, but that doesn't work because we can't please everybody. It's just not
No.
possible. There's not everyone's gonna like us, not everyone's gonna agree with our views or our perspective. So we just do the best that we can, right? We keep moving forward. As long as we have good intentions and a good purpose, we just keep moving forward. We just keep doing the things that we're meant to do. We say no to the things that don't serve us, so we have room to say yes for the things that are meant for us.
So when you are not writing books and podcasting, what else is on your agenda?
Oh well, I like to travel. I like to spend time with my family, and friends. I'm pretty boring. You know, I just like to, you know, be with the people, like surround myself with the people that I love, like my close friends and families. And then being able to travel to different parts of the world to learn their culture, try their food, because I love trying different, you know, cuisines around the world. I also like to keep as fit as I can, especially at, you know, being over 40, sometimes, you know, our metabolism starts to wear down, you know, things start to like pop up.
Perimenopause,
Yeah.
it's a whole nother topic, speaking of confidence.
Yeah. So
Yes.
I like to work, like move around as much as I can.
You have also said that communities are important. And how do you support that? Are you involved in communities? You said that you are also a speaker, keynote speaker. So, like, who are your audiences apart from your readers and podcast listeners?
Yeah, I have I'm part of different women's organizations. So, you know, just being in those circles, being able to meet up online once a month, just to talk about the things that we go through. I also attend, you know, different local events and networking events where I can meet other people and just learn from other people. So, and then, you know, being on social media, I've built a bit, like being on LinkedIn, I've built quite a big following so that I also you know, utilize that because it's also great when I get to meet my connections for the first time in person. Like I've known them for years online, but of course, in person is a totally different thing. So I'm glad social media has helped me connect to different types of communities from all over the world and be able to have that when, you know, when times are tough or you're not having a very confident day, you have your community that you can turn to.
And you are based in Canada.
Yes.
And were you born and raised there, or did you come at a later age?
Yeah, I was born in the Philippines. I actually moved to Canada when I was 7. So my parents decided to move to Canada. They wanted a better life, better opportunities. So I've been in Toronto ever since then.
And how was it growing up there?
It's definitely, it was a culture shock and everything really stemmed from my upbringing, not being able to see people in the media that look like me. I always felt ashamed of my own culture. I felt like I had to show up a certain way, be a certain way, have a certain hair color, have a certain eye color, skin tone to feel beautiful and to feel accepted. So this is why I do the work that I do, because I don't want current and future generations to go through what I went through growing up.
Very important work.
Yes.
Really. Thank you so much. So when is the new book coming out?
Yeah, so Bridging the Confidence Gap is out in May of this year of 2025. It's actually available for pre-order. So you can now pre-order a copy of the book on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Indigo, and any other like major book retailers across the world. So really excited about that. You
Pretty
know,
cool.
I was really fortunate to write one book, but to have two books is like, wow, I didn't even know I had it in me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And will you be doing a book tour? I mean,
I'm
will it bring you to the United States or?
I do have some places in the United States that I'll probably visit. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you so much for your time. And I ordered the Tao of Self-Confidence. And I'm really, really looking forward to reading it. And I'm still fascinated by the fact, that this question, what do you really want, was the trigger and brought you on this important journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for your support. I hope you'll enjoy the book, and I hope the audience will feel free to connect with me on my website, shinayapchan.com. Like I mentioned, there's a free quiz, and they can also connect with me on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if they forget, they can always Google my name, Shina Yap Chan, on the internet.
And it'll also be in my show notes. All right. Well, have a fantastic rest of the day, and thank you so much for your time again.
Same here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Okay. Bye-bye. My takeaway from today: self-confidence is not a trait, it is a skill. It can be built up, it can grow, it's a living thing. Sheena's first book, The Tao of Self-Confidence, is a great story and guide. And in May, you can get her new book, Bridging the Confidence Gap. Find all the information in my show notes. Thank you for listening to Shift Happens. Please follow and subscribe to this podcast. It's an easy hit for you with a huge impact for me. It helps me grow even further and bring you more conversations with women from around the globe. I am so happy to announce that the iconic Danish shirt brand, Britt Sisik, supports season 4 of Shift Happens. I love these shirts, crafted in Europe, dedicated to the luxury of dressing with ease and delivering exceptional quality and enduring styles. Use code SHIFTHAPPENS at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Valid on full price items only. Shift Happens has been created and is hosted by me, Claudia Mahler. Editing, Andy Borison. Social media, Magda Reckendrace. I hope you felt connected and heard by listening to Shift Happens.